If it's all right.
Oh, yeah, the Monty Show is always all right. That's Jake. I'm Monty. Good to be with you today. As always, pack show. Hello, Periscope. Hello, YouTube Live. Yesterday, I spent, the better part of 10 minutes saying Facebook Live?
Hey, things happen.
I would like to start the show by apologizing to our viewers on YouTube for saying that you were on Facebook. How dare I do such a lowly thing to you as such. So I apologize for that. Hey, big show today. Of course, we got to talk about the XFL. The XFL is back. We've got to talk about Michigan State being Penn State. Kai Rizzle back in the news. Tyronn Lue changed the lineup. What? We should just do this show in Cleveland every day.
Every day. Every day.
Because it seems like we talk about the Cavs a lot.
You know what it's called.
The Land.
Yeah, come on.
We should do this show in The Land. Yeah. I'm not allowed to call it Cleveland anymore. Jake insists that I say The Land.
Yeah.
So, Little Big Boy. Good tune if you haven't heard it. Really good tune. We got to talk Marlins trading Yelich, Scott Boras calling out baseball, the doomsday clock, all that good stuff. Straight ahead. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show is where you find The Monty Show podcast on Twitter. Let's start with the XFL, Jake, because I was really surprised today to hear that the XFL is coming back. What are your thoughts? It was 2001. You were 8 years old when the XFL debuted. You don't even remember it. What are your thoughts on the XFL?
Well, I just think it's interesting from my perspective. It seems like McMahon has learned his lesson about, you know, what kind of content you should create if you want to be successful. Clearly, he's learned his lesson that it needs to be a family-oriented product to be successful on TV. And so he's clearly trending away from the porn stars on the sideline, the violence, the criminals in the game, like that. He's getting away from that crowd and getting into the family crowd. So I think it's a good move on his part. I don't blame him for trying again and changing the product, but it's going to have to grow vastly. And I think at the end of the day, the product on the field is what matters. People want to watch football because they like football, so it needs to be a decent product.
And you'll remember originally the XFL did really well on NBC. I mean, incredibly well. And then viewership just fell off the face of the earth. Eventually, ad revenue fell off because there were no ratings. Here's how the league's going to work. They say they're going to debut in 2020. It's going to start playing January of 2020 with 8 cities, no owners. The XFL will be wholly owned by probably WWE and Vince McMahon. No franchises. They'll play a 10-week schedule. 4 teams will make the playoffs, so half the league makes the playoffs. All players will stand for the national anthem.
Yep.
They will have 2-hour games is what they're aiming for. There will be no WWE crossover, which is to say there will be no stars from the WWE. Vince McMahon claims he won't be part of the broadcast team or doing on-field announcing stuff like he did last time. And they will also not allow criminals. Even if you have a DUI, you will not be allowed to play in the XFL.
And that's really interesting to me because I feel like everybody's paid attention to the NFL saga and their consistency or lack thereof in disciplining players. And so I think on some level that's smart, but I think a lot of people are questioning, and I'm one of these people, who exactly are you going to put in this league? Because again, like I just said, your product on the field has to be good. So it begs the question, okay, well, who are you going to find that's got a clean sheet, if you will, and can play football?
Well, you also have to remember that you won't be playing for 2 years.
Right.
Is Tim Tebow still going to be ready to play football in 2 years?
Will he even want to play football?
Is Colin Kaepernick going to be back in the NFL? Will Colin Kaepernick still be a football player in 2 years? Will Johnny Manziel be ready to play football in the XFL? Manziel tweeted at Vince McMahon today, essentially begging for a job. Johnny doesn't have a criminal conviction on his record, much to the dismay of the USA Today, who said he'd be excluded. He wouldn't be.
Right.
Does Tim Tebow bring you to the TV?
He doesn't bring me personally to the TV, but he brings people to the TV. Yeah,
I'd watch because of Tim Tebow. I'd watch because of Colin Kaepernick. And yeah, I'd love to see Johnny Manziel there. Yeah, I think it'd be great.
look, this does seem to be this is the kind of setup that, you know, gives guys a second chance, if you will. They're not going to get guys like Johnny Manziel are struggling to get their second chance in the NFL. And so for guys like him, it's attractive. I'm not saying that makes it a lesser product. I'm just saying it makes it a very different product. It's not again, this is the XFL, not the NFL. So this is going to be way different.
Way different.
Yeah. So
I think
you need to cater your expectations for what this is actually going to be. You're not watching this 100% to see the best football on the planet. You're watching it because it's good football with a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, and a lot of guys that you know, former college players, they're really going to try and make a go of this. They say as a spring football league, a feeder league to the NFL, like they're going to really try and make a go of it with football. I think they can do it.
Is the ultimate success for McMahon in the XFL being that kind of source to the NFL? If they can be a feeder league, as you put it, that's a really good way to put it. If they can be a feeder league to the NFL, does that mean it will, you know, cater to success for him? Or is this simply hey, I need to get viewership. I need to get that TV money.
See, I think it matters. I think that the XFL and Vince McMahon being a feeder league to the NFL, I do think that matters, and I do think it can work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you can mock Vince McMahon for a lot of things. The one thing you cannot mock him for is being a really good businessman.
Yeah.
And today before the show, I went back and rewatched the 2001 Bob Costas interview on HBO with Vince McMahon and Bob Costas. And if you haven't, I'd highly encourage you to go to my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show on Twitter. I would highly encourage you to go back and watch that interview because I actually think Vince handled himself pretty well.
Yeah.
I've never been a Bob Costas guy. He literally is a god in St. Louis. Like, people think he created, you know, heaven and earth.
Right.
I am not that guy. I don't love Bob Costas. I think Bob Costas is a decent broadcaster.
Right.
He clearly is not a wrestling fan.
Right.
And in that interview, he was just cocky and arrogant. And I give Vince McMahon a lot of credit for putting up with that.
It would have been easy for him to lose his composure there, for sure.
And he did a little. You got pissed off. There's no doubt
about
that.
But there's a line.
Yeah.
There's a line.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Bottom line is I'll watch the XFL because I think it's interesting. I'll watch the XFL because it's football in January. And I'll watch the XFL because once the Super Bowl's over in February, we don't have football to watch. And I happen to love football. So, yeah, I'll watch the XFL unless it's dreadful football, which this time around I really don't think it will be. I don't think it'll be dreadful football.
He's not going to get a third chance. So, and I think he realizes that. So I'm with you. I think the product has to be really, really good. People have to enjoy what they're watching.
It
can't just be, hey, this is the XFL and we got cheerleaders and our product's different than the NFL, so watch us.
Yeah.
It needs to be good football.
And I think it will be good football. I'm actually rooting for it. I hope it works because I think there's a lot of fun that could be had in that system.
Yeah.
There's a lot of college football players who I think could stock them with good talent. Hey, let's get to Kyrie, the Cavs, LeBron. First thing first, little breaking news. LeBron and Stephen Curry have picked their all-star teams. Okay, so here's Team Steph for you. It's Giannis, Jimmy Buckets, Steph Curry. DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, James Harden, Al Horford, Dame, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, Karl Anthony Towns. So that's not a great team. When I look at LeBron's team, he's got LaMarcus Aldridge, Bradley Beal, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Kevin Love, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, John Wall, and Kevin Durant's favorite player, Russell Westbrook. Team LeBron is going to smash.
Is that Team LeBron or Team USA?
Team LeBron. Yeah, really. Team LeBron is going to smash Team Steph.
I think it'll be interesting. It depends how competitive the game is. I think if it was a real game and these two were really trying to go at each other, I agree with you. I think LeBron's team would smash it, kill it.
Oh, he will.
It wouldn't even be close. And they're saying, and Steph has been a big advocate for this, that they want the All-Star game to be more competitive and that this style of selection is going to make the game more competitive. So I don't know what does this league cater to, guards or big men? Because LeBron has a lot of size on that team, but Steph's got a ton of scores.
This league caters to big men that can play like guards.
Yeah,
that's what the NBA caters to, and I think LeBron's team is way better. Like, I don't even, seriously, bro, I don't even think it's close. And I'll just say again, here's LeBron's team. Aldridge, Beal, Cousins, Anthony Davis, KD, Kyrie, LeBron, Kevin Love, Oladipo, Porzingis, John Wall, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
He's got three of the best guards in the league in Westbrook, in Wall,
Kyrie,
Oladipo, Kyrie Irving, and Bradley Beal. Those guys can all run. Those guys can all shoot. He's got Boogie. He's got a bunch of dudes that can play basketball. Yeah. Steph, in the meantime, has a bunch of small guys. Klay, Kyle Lowry, Damian Lillard, James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, Steph, Jimmy Butler. Those are all pretty players. Who's the real grinder on that team? Giannis, Draymond's the real grinder. He's not an all-star. Al Horford, Karl Anthony Towns, he's a difference maker down low. I think he's going to be the best player in the league here in a couple of years.
Sure.
I know you hate that.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah.
I happen to think that...
I think for once we're agreeing on the NBA.
LeBron's got way better talent.
Yeah.
I mean, way better talent. Not even close. What do you make of all the drama in Cleveland today? Here's the, as the Cavs turn in the land. The Cavs made a major lineup change. Their starting lineup will be Isaiah Thomas and LeBron James in the backcourt. J.R. Smith, Kevin Love at the forwards, and Tristan Thompson will be your center. Do you like it? That means Jay Crowder's on the bench. Like it, love it, hate it.
I love it for the Cavs. I think it gives them a lot more flexibility. I think it makes them the team that they were a couple years ago when they beat the Warriors in the finals. I think giving the big thing here is that Tristan Thompson has to be the Tristan Thompson of old and not the Tristan Thompson of new. He's got to be 20 boards a game, and he has to be because who else? There's no other size on the floor. LeBron James is the biggest other guy besides Tristan Thompson.
I think you're asking him to do something he's not capable of. I think you're asking him to be a player that he's not ever going to be. I think Tristan Thompson is a guy that rebounds a little bit, plays a little bit of defense. He's not fast. He's not athletic.
I don't know, man. He was a beast in the finals. I mean, he showed a lot of promise and then just was never that guy again. I don't know where that went. I think a lot of it has to do with...
Where it went was to his bank account. He's comfortable. Isn't he impregnating Khloe Kardashian?
Sure. I honestly don't know. I think you're right about that. Yeah. But my biggest point here is that he's an energy guy. He was known for always having that energy, always bringing that toughness.
Well,
to
what
the
he
Cavs.
Was known for was getting the important rebound.
Yeah.
He was known for the guy that could get you an occasional loose ball, and he's not been that guy. But in my opinion, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers did what had to be done. They had to do something other than nothing.
Yeah.
And I think they did that. Then there's this Kyrie Irving news. Mr. Flat Earth himself said that he threatened, or it was said, that he threatened Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs. He said, Dan, if you don't trade me, which he eventually did to Boston.
Yeah.
If you don't trade me, I will sit out the entire 2018 season with a knee injury if you don't trade me. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Yes, I do too.
I do.
Would you have traded him?
I think I would have looked at it at the very least.
I can't stand that. That tells you how much of a players' league this has turned into.
But that's what
right?
I was saying.
Like,
I was saying this yesterday on the show. The players, we were talking about the Kawhi situation when I said
yes,
that.
Yes, we were.
For context.
Yes.
And what I was saying was that players have the power in this league because at the end of the day, you're trying to win games, right? And executives don't win games. Players win games. So
correct.
When Kyrie says, hey, bud, I don't want to be here anymore. I want my own team. Because that was the whole thing. He felt like he was good enough to play the LeBron role instead
which
of the
he's
Kyrie
proven
role.
To be. Yes,
and
he's proven to be that.
Absolutely. He's filled the bill, no doubt about that. But it just goes to show that when your second best player, allegedly, on the Cavs in Kyrie says, hey, you're either going to trade me or I'm not going to play for you and I'm going to get paid. I don't know what you do. I think the businessman side of it is, okay, this guy doesn't want to be here. He's one of the best players in the league. What's the smartest thing to do? What's the smartest play? And for me, the smartest play is...
Not to trade Andrew Wiggins?
Well, that, number one. But number two, they made a bad trade. That was a bad trade to get rid of Kyrie. It just was.
Not to fire David Griffin?
Yeah.
Like, they Dan Gilbert's made so many bad decisions. Not to let LeBron James go, and I know that that probably wasn't his singular choice.
Yeah.
But there was a lot that led up to that. Now he's saying that if LeBron leaves, he is going to sell the team. Like, I mean, just all of this nonsense.
Drama.
Like, man, Dan Gilbert, I think all of this goes back to Jerry Jones. I mean, Dan Gilbert. When you're a guy like Jerry Jones, who Dan Gilbert is, you have drama. You have baby mama drama kind of stuff. Like, all of these things that you just don't need. You know, I just don't... I don't get it. And one of our Periscopers is saying the Cavs should have sat Kyrie Irving to teach him a lesson. That hurts the basketball team. You're not going to win. But then again, maybe to the point, did you see some of the numbers on Isaiah Thomas? So Isaiah Thomas joins the Cavs. He calls out Kevin Love in a team meeting, right?
Allegedly, which Tristan Thompson said.
It's not alleged. Everybody's pretty much backed that up. That he called out Kevin Love.
Right.
Well, that grew some frustration on this team because since he's come back, he's played 13 games. Or he's been on the roster for 13 games. They're 3-7 in the 10 games he's played. In the games he's played, they've given up 122.5 points. In the games that Isaiah Thomas has not played, they've given up 99.5 points. They're a better team defensively, especially without Isaiah Thomas on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that in the stats. I think it's interesting that he just hasn't found his rhythm yet. He was a great player in Boston because he was the guy in Boston. A lot of players who were the guy on a team and then go to a LeBron team can't handle that role.
Sure.
And I think he's really struggling with that because a lot of players... You know, a lot of players are rhythm players. They need to miss 4, 5, 6 shots at the beginning of the game in the first quarter when it doesn't matter to be good to go the rest of the game.
See, I don't think he's a rhythm player. I think he's a punk. I think he's a guy that's in his own head. I think Isaiah Thomas is a guy that, frankly, doesn't have the mental makeup to be a superstar because right now his mind is still in Boston.
It is,
He is pouting and he is complaining and whining privately that he should have never left Boston. Well, Boston left you because they wanted Kyrie Irving, who's a better guard than you are, who's a better basketball player than you are. And I think Kyrie Irving has proven that since he went to Boston, this has been a great trade for the Celtics.
There's no question about it. Even without Gordon Hayward, they're still better.
Yeah, who, by the way, is close to coming back. I think they're the best team in the East. I think the Boston Celtics... They're not, I don't know how, it'll depend on what kind of player Gordon is when he gets back. If Gordon Hayward's a superstar when he gets back, if he's the same guy he was in Utah a year ago, they're close to beating the Warriors. I don't think they will. They're close to beating the Warriors. By the way, if the Warriors get by the Rockets.
Yeah, well.
Because I think that's going to be a battle, too. That's a series
in itself. I mean, that will be a battle. There's no question about that. But I think it's going to take Gordon some time to come back. I mean, he's either going to... extend the time it takes him to get back to find his groove, or he's just going to have to play 5, 6, 7 games at the end of the season and hope for the best in the playoffs. I mean, that's really your option here.
Yeah. Do you care if a team wins or loses? Like, if you are a... Who's the worst team in the NBA right now? If you are a Laker fan, if you are
the Suns.
A Phoenix Suns team is a great example. Do you expect your organization to do everything they can do to win a championship or not? Because these Scott Boras comments, I think, play right into the Cavs and all of this player switching. Scott Boras today said, winning, quote, winning is the cement of baseball integrity. Specifically calling out teams like the Miami Marlins, who today traded Christian Yelich to the Brewers. And his point is, whether it be the Lakers, the whoever you want to point to in the NBA.
Yeah.
His point is that if you are selling to your fans, hey, we need to suck for 5 years so that we can win consistently.
Yeah.
He says that's bad for the integrity of baseball, football, the NBA. Is Scott Boras right about that?
I think he's half right. I don't think you can compare the game of baseball to other games because look at season length. Just start there.
Mm-hmm. 162 games, 6 months.
For 162 games is a rough product for your fans. And in a time when we're talking so much about pace of play and putting up viewership, of course Scott Boras is going to say this, because if he doesn't say it, it's hurting his clients. Sucking teams with one superstar hurts your client.
Look at the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, exactly.
We're bad because we don't have an arena.
Yeah.
Well, now you have one of the nicest arenas in all of professional basketball.
Yeah.
And you're the worst team in the West.
Yeah.
You've won 14 games and lost 33. How do you explain that? Terrible personnel decisions.
Right, exactly. So for me, though, if you look at what Rob Manfred said, he said, hey, baseball's a cyclical game. You have runs. Look at the Giants' run. Look at the Yankees of old with Jeter
and
all the boys.
But see, here's the point with the Giants.
Yeah.
And I covered the Giants for several years.
Yeah, you're qualified.
Yeah, the San Francisco Giants want to win every game they play.
Mm-hmm.
The San Francisco Giants every single day do everything they can do. I believe in my heart of hearts, the San Francisco Giants do everything they can do to win every single game they play. I can't say that about the Marlins.
But does intentionally losing to get draft picks fall under doing everything you can do to win a game?
No, that tells me you're doing what the Lakers did last year is despicable.
Yeah.
What the, you know, I look at teams like, is it different for like the Utah Jazz? The Jazz are not a major market team, and I know this pisses everybody in Salt Lake off, but I'm sorry.
It does.
You're not a major market team. If you're not going to compete for a championship, should you tank? Should you try to get the best college prospect available to you?
Well, I feel like they're kind of in between, right? And that's what I feel like is unacceptable to fans, right? Like, you can't be – you either – in the NBA specifically, you either need to tank or you need to go all in to win.
What do you say about the Suns then? Because the Suns have tanked for years, and they've wound up with Devin Booker, Dragan Bender.
The Suns' issue is that they can't pick the right guy in the draft. That's their problem.
The Suns' issue is they're terrible at hiring coaches. They're terrible at keeping general managers. People don't want to play in Phoenix because they think the owner is a jerk, which he kind of is. But you have Devin Booker and Josh Jackson and Marquese Chriss. Is Marquese Chriss a miss? At this point, I think it's starting to look like he's a miss. Is Josh Jackson ever going to develop into a solid number three player in the NBA? Is he going to be a starter in the NBA for the next 15 years? Probably not.
He's barely a starter on the Suns.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, like, I look at teams. I look at the Philadelphia 76ers because that's a team.
They're a great example.
What have they done that everybody else is not doing? The 76ers are developing talent, right? Like,
and you can see it.
Yeah, I look at Ben Simmons. Ben, you're a better shooter than Ben Simmons. And truth be told, Jake's a really good shooter. We play a lot of basketball. You're probably top two or three guys that play in our gym as a shooter. I look at Ben Simmons, and you're a way better shooter than Ben Simmons is.
And yet he's still dominant.
He is. Averaging 16.4 points a game. Playing 35 minutes a game. I mean, his numbers are decent. His numbers
are
decent.
Like, they're good enough as a rookie. They are good enough.
But look at Embiid finally healthy. J.J. Redick, I think one of the best free agent signings that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, Dario Saric. You even look at a guy like Robert Covington that not a lot of people talk about. They're developing their young players. By the way, where the hell is Markelle Fultz?
Working on his shot form?
Oh, my God. He's terrible. He's played four games, averaging 6 points. Yeah, like, they're
but
willing
that's a
to
great
sit
example.
On that.
Exactly. That's a great example. So you drafted him super high. And then he had this shoulder thing, this weird
situation. No, I think he had a mental breakdown because he couldn't shoot.
Well, maybe that may be true, but I don't know. I don't know how you go from college being able to shoot that well to going to the NBA and not being able to shoot at all. Not really sure how that's a possibility or how that translates. I understand maybe the first 25 games of your career, you're nervous and you're trying to work that out mentally.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yep.
But to be that good in college and to be an absolute nobody so far in the NBA, I don't understand that. So, but the point here is that the 76ers are amazing at developing talent. They're willing to sit on a guy like Fultz who's clearly got some issues.
Yeah.
And when he does pan out, they're going to look really good. Now, I don't know how long that's going to take, and I don't think they do either, but it's going to happen.
I'm fascinated by it. I agree with Scott Boras. And again, if you're just hopping on Periscope or YouTube Live, Scott Boras said today, quote, winning is the cement of baseball integrity. Calling out teams like the Reds, calling out teams like the Pirates who traded away their best talent, the Marlins now tearing down their team, Giancarlo Stanton, a Yankee. You look at Christian Yelich today. If you didn't hear this, traded to the Brewers, who now say they're probably going to go out and make an offer to Yu Darvish if they haven't already.
Yeah.
The Brewers of Milwaukee are trying to win, and the Miami Marlins are not, with a brand new stadium and a brand new owner, and his name's Derek Jeter. Like, it's mind numbing. It's absolutely
mind numbing. It's a little surprising Derek Jeter hasn't done more to try to win and be better.
See, this is the Jordan effect.
It is.
This is the Jordan effect. Like, Michael Jordan to me is not a great owner because he hasn't won. And it's Magic Johnson with the Dodgers. Everybody thought, oh, the Dodgers are going to win. Magic Johnson, money, it's going to be amazing. They haven't won. It's not the Hall of Very Good.
But when you compare Magic Johnson to, like, Jordan, Magic's done much better than Jordan has, that's for sure.
Has he?
Yeah.
How?
Because he's actually been to the World Series. He's done those things. He hasn't won, sure, but at least he's getting to that point.
Not a good coach. Is he a good basketball executive? They haven't won yet.
No, but they're
not trying to be a dick about it.
They're
but,
in a completely
right, they haven't
different
won.
Situation,
but,
though.
But that's my point. They're not. They're in the same situation as Charlotte, only they're the Los Angeles Lakers. They should be better than they are. Now, having said that, this is only year two of the Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, Jeannie
like
Buss
six years.
Thing,
yeah.
Right? And you can see this summer there could be like a titanic evolution or change in the NBA if they get free agents, right?
Well, the landscape of the NBA will change this summer. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely a possibility. Absolutely a possibility. And I my point is, if you are losing to save money, you're doing it. You're not saving money. Look at. Did you guys hear about the Atlanta Falcons and their concessions? So the Atlanta Falcons move into the Mercedes-Benz Dome, right? You would figure, oh man, it's going to be $50 for a dog and a beer, right?
It's Mercedes-Benz. It's expensive.
Wrong. They cut their concessions. Every one of their concession items: popcorn, water,
beer.
Cut it 50% in half. They made 16% more money this year than they did last year on concessions. Because you know what they were finding? Hey, if we improve the fan experience, they'll come into the stadium earlier and stay longer. They'll spend more money. So fans aren't staying in the parking lot. They're not idiot Bills fans falling through tables. They're actually educated fans who go in and say, hey, it's $2 for a hot dog. Let me hook that up.
Yeah.
You can now afford to bring your kids to a Falcons game. The tickets didn't go down. But all the concessions went, because what do we all complain about? I bought Blackhawk Coyote tickets today because the Blackhawks are here in Phoenix. I should say in Mars, Glendale, February 12th.
Yeah.
The tickets, the concessions, the parking, the drive, it's going to cost me $300 to go to that game. It's a hockey game in Phoenix. It shouldn't cost me $300.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll wind up eating before I go there. I'm not going to spend my money at the concessions there. That's not what they wanted in Atlanta. By the way, the number one grossing concession stand in that building, Chick-fil-A, which is closed for 7 of the 8 home games because they're played on Sunday. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Hey, The Monty Show podcast. Find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Do you think about your death a lot? Because I do. Do you think about dying a lot? Do you think about dying a lot?
I think about what happens after you die. I don't think about my actual, like, how I'm going to die. I think about what happens after you die.
I was sitting at a light today thinking to myself, man, I really like living. I really like living because I had read a story about this doomsday clock.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, man, I really like living. F you, Donald Trump. Like, seriously, in my mind, I thought to myself, screw you, Donald Trump. I like my life.
Yeah.
So there's like an actual scientific person, institution, that has this little thing called a doomsday clock. And one of the things that they do is they set it closer or further away from midnight. And once it reaches midnight, they say it's doomsday. So they look at things like, oh, I don't know, nuclear war as a good indication of where the doomsday clock should be set. Well, they set it 2 minutes to midnight today because of all the rhetoric and the BS with Kim Jong Fathead and Donald Trump?
Rocket Man, please.
Thank you. Donnie Dutard and Rocket Man. do you think in your lifetime, you're 24, you're wearing a faux hawk right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever contemplated if there would be nuclear war in your lifetime?
Yeah, I have. I've contemplated, after, especially recently, in recent time, after the whole Hawaii thing, I think everybody contemplated that.
How crazy was that?
Well, it's just, I mean, what do you do?
And if you didn't hear about it, Hawaii got an emergency notice on their phones that said there's an inbound ballistic missile. This is not a test. It turned out to be false.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do? That's how I think of it. Okay, well, if there's a nuke that's going to hit Chase Field in Phoenix, what do you do?
So you think about dying?
Yeah, on occasion, not all the time.
Are you a heaven guy? Or are you a? Do you think your lights just get turned out? Or you think you're going to go and hang out with your Aunt Wilma who died in 1974?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. Yeah.
So like when you get to heaven, is all your family?
I think you're hanging out there. Yeah.
Are they in the Monty house in heaven? Or
Monty
like
de
they're
Casa.
Waiting for you?
Yeah.
And like some dudes at the gate, like, okay, hey, hop on my little tricycle.
Hey,
I'll
I need
drive
your pound
you
of flesh, and then you can get through.
I can't remember what they call taxis. That
dude, the Brewers just signed Lorenzo Cain, 5 years, $80 million.
Wow.
It's getting real. It's
okay,
getting real
so
in the NL
we'll
Central.
Talk about dying in a minute. The Milwaukee Brewers today traded for...
Milwaukee. Yeah.
The Milwaukee Brewers today traded for Christian Yelich. And now today they have also signed free agent Lorenzo Cain, late of the world champion Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
Rawls.
Yeah.
How good are they? And does this force the Cubs to make a Jake Arrieta... Now, are they going to spend a lot of money in Milwaukee, and does this preclude them from signing Yu Darvish? Because they need pitching.
Their pitching is just kind of average. It's
hate
not
to
great.
Break it to you, they need it. Ken Rosenthal tweeting 40 minutes ago: acquisition of Yelich does not necessarily rule out Brewers on free agent Lorenzo Cain. I'm going to go ahead and say Ken Rosenthal's dialed.
Yeah,
because he got that exactly right. I mean. If you're the Cubs, are you worried about Yu Darvish? Are you worried about Jake Arrieta? Are you now...
Worried about not signing him or worried about them going to the Brewers?
Oh, are you worried about Yu Darvish going to the Brewers?
I think it's... if I'm the Cubs, I'm not worrying about that. I'm more counter-strategizing against that. So if Brewers get X player, what is our Y? What are we going to do to counteract that? And I think they're just keeping a sense of, okay, well, if the Brewers, because they already know the Cardinals are going to be right with them in the NL Central. The Pirates are going to be bad. The Reds are going to be bad. Okay, well, now the Brewers are trying to be that third team to the party. And I think everybody knows that last year they could have gone a little further than they were able to make it. So this year they brought in some talent, and they're going to be a tough club to play. And they're going to see each
pitching
other
wins.
A lot.
Pitching wins.
It always wins. And that's my point, though, that Yu Darvish – allegedly was tipping pitches. I mean, whatever you want to say, he got lit up when it counted. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Yu Darvish guy. I would rather have Arrieta, but we'll see.
If you're the Cubs, do you react to this
with a move?
Do you react to this and make sure you get Arrieta or Darvish?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to get one of them either way. I mean, you don't have a choice. Regardless of what the Brewers are doing, you have to get one of those guys.
Yeah, this is a bit of a shocking development.
But this is what we were just talking about, right? That you got to do everything you can do to win, and the Brewers are doing that now.
Well, I'm looking at the Central. The Pirates obviously are done. I mean, this really is between the Cubs and Cubs, Cardinals, Brewers.
Yeah, it's a three-horse race.
You know, I think it is. I think it's one of these things where. You know, how do you win with that pitching staff? That's what I'm not sure about. Like Davies, Nelson, Anderson, you know, Suter and Guerra. I don't know.
You don't have a one. You need somebody that's a one. And then everybody else can just back that up. That's the problem. You need to have an ace every fifth day that you can say, yeah, he's going to give us at least six innings. And we're going to be put in a position to win when he leaves that ballgame.
It's interesting. I mean, what about Ryan Braun? I mean, like, this is a really interesting... I mean, Ryan Braun had an awful year last year. 268 and 17 home runs. Like, he was not special.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very interesting because now, is he a right fielder now? Lorenzo Cain's your center fielder. Yelich is your left fielder. Is Ryan Braun a right fielder now?
Yeah, he's a power-hitting right fielder. Yeah, I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that I think is very interesting is what does this do? What does this do to the rest of, I mean, because you got to remember they have Thames there. I mean, they have talent there. They can hit.
They're going to be a good club. They're going to be a tough game every time out.
Yeah, Craig Counsell's a good manager.
He is.
I mean,
underrated.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to me to see how they make all of this work. Like, because you have to go and get a pitcher. There's nothing to even talk about.
Yu Darvish seems like a good fit for them. You know, he's not going to go to a team, in my opinion, that is a contender every year or has been. So I don't think the Cubs are going to sign Yu Darvish. I don't think he's obviously not going to be a Dodger. He's not going to be a Yankee. He's not going to be any of those big clubs. I think the Brewers would be a nice fit for him because now he'll have the opportunity to kind of reset, go to a smaller club, find himself. And just pitch.
Do you have the money now? Do you drop down if you're the Brewers? Do you drop down to Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb? Do you drop down to that level?
Those are not number one pitchers on any other else's team. But if you don't have the money, I guess that's your option. I mean, look, they clearly have a plan. That's the good thing here. They clearly have a plan.
Do you think the Brewers are the team that offered Yu Darvish 5 years?
Yeah, I think they've had an offer into him for a long time.
I hope they do, because I'm not a Brewers fan. I'm a Cubs fan. Yeah. And as a Cubs fan, I really hope that they do not sign Yu Darvish. I think that's a huge mistake. Boy, interesting times in Major League Baseball. Do we go Michigan State here? Or do we go to Apple sending locations of your phone to the cops?
Let's talk about Apple.
All right, let's talk about Apple. Michigan State, that scandal with Nassar is going to be around for a long time. It's going to be around for a very long time. So the Apple iOS 11.3 update, it unpacked a lot. Like, there were many different things. But buried in the 11.3 Apple update was that now they can send your location to emergency services, quote-unquote. Emergency services. Doesn't that mean the cops, anytime they want, can know where you are? Isn't that, that kind of feels like that's what that is.
It's not good. I'm not a huge fan of this at all.
Yeah, I am an Apple loyalist, okay? And it makes me a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
That they are going to send your location to emergency services.
I just think it's one of these things, and you're a privacy guy. You like to keep your stuff private. And I'm right with you. I don't blame you on that front. But this is definitely one of those things. It kind of feels like a breach of privacy. Why should they be able to send my location to the cops? Like, and here's the other thing. How do you determine if it's an emergency situation? Are they going to have an auditor for that? Are they going to have a guy that just sits here the whole time and says, hey, if little Johnny is in a car accident and he's an iPhone 10 user, hey, cops, here he is, as if nobody else called that in? Like, I don't understand the need for it.
The feature activates GPS and Wi-Fi services when somebody calls any emergency number and then sends a text with the caller's precise locations globally. So it takes your GPS location and sends that to the cops.
When you call.
But what that says is that they can do it anytime they want.
Right.
They have the capability to send your exact GPS location to authorities anytime they want. Apple had previously implemented other emergency-oriented features, including emergency SOS, which calls local emergency numbers. Users can also add emergency contacts who will be alerted to an SOS emergency with a text message and user's current location.
See, but Come on. Good Lord. Why do we need to know all of that? Why do I need to know Little Johnny's car accident? I don't get that.
Well, because if you're Little Johnny's dad, I mean, you want to know that Little Johnny's been injured and you need to go help him. Right? I mean, but that's fine with me. I'm not a fan of sending your GPS location to cops. I'm not. This is going to end poorly. How am I going to call in bomb threats to get out of work? Oh, wait. I get out of work. I work for myself. Anyway, the point is...
like, speaking of the doomsday clock.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is bad in every way. Do you worry people listen to your phone calls, like the government, DOJ?
I don't worry about it because I don't have anything to hide. Go ahead, listen. I mean, what? Like, what am I hiding?
Oh, so you're that guy.
Well, yeah, but because, like, you're not going to win that fight. You're not going there. You have no recourse. It's like, what are you going to do? If they're listening to your phone, they're listening to your phone. You don't know either way, so why are you stressing about it? It's out of your control, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
You're wasting your time worrying about that. It's out of your control.
I get it.
Yeah,
you know?
See, and that's what Finn Daddy on Periscope is saying, that his calls are boring to whoever's listening. I don't care about the content of the phone call either.
Would you be okay if authorities had access to your Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook? Do you care at all about that? Because I'm telling you, they do.
Oh, there's no doubt they do. I just...
So you don't care at all?
No, because it's not in my control. I can't tell them, hey, NSA or whoever.
I
But what are you going to do about it? That's my biggest thing. Like, I can't
do anything
about it.
That's what abuse of power is about. They do it
but
because
you can't quantify the abuse.
Sure, you. Well, we know that the NSA illegally listened to Americans on their phones. We know that happened in AT&T buildings in San Francisco. We know that, like, we know that these things happen. And my point is, okay, why did you change that song so drastically?
Because I was ready for a new vibe. I was ready for a new vibe.
If you're on SoundCloud, you know that Jake just turned on Gin and Juice.
I was ready for a new vibe.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, the point is abuse of power really is knowing that you can do it and nobody can do anything about it.
And
so you're just
exactly
going to keep doing
it.
Okay. Well, I guess
like
in Donald Trump's
person,
America, I guess it doesn't matter
whose America it is.
It
was happening before and it's going to happen
right,
today.
And there were severe penalties for that. Like okay. Now, do you think that if we caught the Phoenix Police Department listening to our phone calls, is there anything that we could do about it?
If there was a tangible way to stop it from happening on the individual basis, if I could go into an NSA office and say, hey, look, I have actual proof that you were listening to my calls illegally, then I would do something about it.
Do you think they listen to this podcast?
I hope they do.
I hope they do, too. We need the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, listen, I just don't think, and this is just me, I don't think you can just turn a blind eye anymore. I've totally changed on this. I've always been the guy who's like, yeah, what do I have to hide? It's not like I'm doing kiddie
but
porn.
For me,
Jared from Subway. You know, I'm not breaking the law or evading taxes or laundering money or snorting chemicals up my snot hole. I'm just not that guy, right? I'm not that guy. But I care now. Maybe I'm old because I'm, what, 45
but like,
here
why
in
why waste your time on it?
It's not wasting time. How is it wasting time?
Because there's nothing you're going to do.
And that's why they do it.
It's out of your control.
Do you see?
You can't control it. So why waste your time on it, dude?
Because it's the right thing to do. Do we just...
But
why are we in Iraq or Afghanistan?
What's the action you're going to take? What's the action you're going to take?
I'd probably sue. If I had tangible, hard evidence...
But you don't. You're an if and buts guy. On a lot of stuff. You say if and buts don't matter. It doesn't matter what you meant to do or tried to do.
Yeah, Finn Daddy wants to know if they look at your bank accounts. I'm sure they do.
Great.
I'm sure. Look, I don't trust banks. I hate banks. Banks are a necessary evil. I hate insurance companies. Insurance companies are the biggest scam in America until you need them. Until your house burns down or your car gets jacked. Then you need them. But fuck, man, how much insurance premium do I pay? And it's like, oh, well, I'll never see that money again.
Because
you know,
you
like,
won't.
I'll never see that money again. Hey, by the way, how many people have audited their bank accounts to figure out if Wells Fargo or Bank of America or Chase took too much money? No, neither have I. Never, ever, not one time. But when I get too much money, those MFers call me right away and they're like, hey, man, we're going to need that 15 cents of a thousandth of a cent back.
Yeah.
right? Like, because there's nothing you can do about it. The issue is you have to do something when there's nothing you can do about it.
Which is what?
Which is sue or go to, I don't know, go to the crazy dude on TV who calls out Big, I don't know. You know, I just don't. Passwords. I'm a real estate agent, and wire fraud in our business is massive. Like, there's fraud everywhere. Like, my passwords, I'm sure I've been hacked in the past. I was asked the other day if I think I've been hacked. I don't think I've been hacked. I know I've been hacked, even though I don't know it for sure. I'm sure there's some a-hole in Zambia or whatever, Nambia or Namibia or whatever Trump called that African country that he said was an
Nambia.
Asshole.
Nambia.
Nambia. Okay,
yeah.
Nambi Asamoah, whatever
yeah.
the country
whoever
is.
That is yeah.
I guarantee you there's some a-hole in Nambi Asamoah. Well, he's definitely got one. Anyway, point is, I'm sure that there's some dude in some a-hole Cleangelo-like country that's read my emails. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, yeah, hey, man. You know, like, I'll tell you a quick story. Some investor came to us and like, hey, can we buy a flip on a black card? I was like, well, I can ask. I don't think so. He sent me proof of funds for the black card, and it was a Nigerian oil minister's black card. I was like, yeah, we're going to have to walk away from this one, sir. This deal's not going to close.
What do you mean?
My escrow officer was like, is this a serious question? I was like, yes. He's like, no, you can't do that. Fraud is everywhere.
You can't waste time on things you don't control or have no control over.
God, I will beat you with a go pole. I'm telling you right now, it's not a waste of time. When you see abuse of power and you do nothing, you're at fault. You are culpable. That it's just that simple. You letting me eat Girl Scout cookies today, forcing them down my throat. Thank you. We're out now. But you forcing sugar down my throat when you know I'm racing to lose 10% of my body weight with my wife is a you problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, you cannot just, when you see abuse of power, you have to do something
right.
Other than nothing.
But there's nothing to do.
Sue them?
With what evidence?
Go to the media?
I don't have any evidence of it. I know it's happening. I don't have any evidence.
Of course. I
that's what I'm saying.
There's somebody sitting in their house with tinfoil on their windows looking for ways to track what the government's doing to your phone. Has to be. Absolutely has to be. Oh, God, have we started? Yeah, $100 in Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I spent $100. I'm fat.
Yeah, and we're probably getting audited by the NSA or whoever. So
yeah, come look at my bank statements. Yes, I gave them all away. No doubt about that. All right. I'm Monty. That's Jake. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. At some point, we're going to talk about this Michigan State Larry Nassar thing. I'm just not ready to go there. And the fact that Fox Sports won't cover the story because they are the official broadcast partner of Michigan State.
Ooh, that's juicy.
It's really frustrating. The Nassar Olympic, Dr. Nassar, who sexually abused all these athletes.
Dude, it's Penn State all over again. It's that simple.
And we find out today that, according to Deadspin, they audited closed captions from Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Fox Sports has never done that. Yeah, we talked about Herm Edwards saying he doesn't know how to recruit or that recruiting's hard. Herm Edwards, okay. Now, tomorrow on the show, I promise.
Yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow.
We will mock you play to win the game.
Forks up.
Tomorrow, forks down. How did they not hire Kevin Sumlin? And then Sumlin winds up at U of A.
Good luck.
Anyway, the Nassar story tomorrow. Herm Edwards at ASU saying that recruiting's hard. It's college football, Jack. Anyway, so we'll do all that tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. This is a good song.
I know.
Do you know who this is?
Lil Wayne, bro.
Love this song. Make sure you find us on SoundCloud. If you're watching us on YouTube Live or Periscope, find us on SoundCloud because you hear all the music there, too. I'm Monty, that's Jake. We're out. See you tomorrow. Fresh. Go DJ, that's my DJ. Go DJ, that's my DJ. Go DJ, that's my DJ. Go DJ, yeah. Weezy Wee, step up to the mic, dude. Do what you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you have here? is brought to you courtesy of the young.